You sound a lot different than you did last week.
Well, I'm not suffering from a terrible cold.
Well, it's okay. I can fix it in post where you sound like you still have the cold.
Superhero time!
Okay, you're listening to Superhero Time. Today is Tuesday, February 16th, 2010. It is the week of Toy Fair. We got a lot of, let's say interesting news to cover this week. With me, I have my normal team of Fort Max.
Hello.
Hey, Mickey.
Yo.
And Paladin.
Hi, y'all.
Okay, so let's kick off with the Toy Fair news right away. We've been looking at the galleries posted by our friends over at Altered States Magazine, and there's some surprising things. How about that?
That's one adjective you could use.
Yeah.
That's very charitable of you.
There's two things in this that really stood out to me. First was the Ranger figures that looked like they were some kind of transforming cell phone toy.
Yeah.
Kind of like Power Ranger Phone Bravers, for anybody who's followed the Keitai Sozokan Cell Phone Investigator 7 series last year. And
I thought of that when they showed it off.
Yeah, I know. Those are not something I would expect to have seen. I almost wish I hadn't seen them.
I definitely wish I hadn't seen them.
the other thing that kind of stood out to me was a Red Ranger figure that looked very much in the style of an Evangelion.
I can't help but wonder if that's a coincidence or not.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of that. That would be like the strangest crossover idea ever.
I'm sure someone's already written a fanfic about it, though.
Where the Red Ranger has sex with an Evangelion?
Yeah, probably.
Ugh.
Yeah, think about that and try to sleep tonight.
You're off the show next week.
Aw. Well, it wasn't all bad news, though. There was some neat things shown at Toy Fair.
Yeah, we have Mix and Morph Titanus.
Yeah, and who comes with obviously mock-up packaging since it obviously shows off the original Deluxe Titanus toy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for Toy Fair, that's completely
far for the course.
Yeah, it's completely expected.
And this toy actually, I can't, of course, this is Toy Fair, and stuff is usually put together by marketing, who usually have no idea what the heck they're supposed to be doing.
Right, most Toy Fair exhibits are staffed by actors the companies hire to present the stuff.
Right.
It's very rare that they will actually send their own representatives who know about what they're peddling.
Right. Now, just looking at the pictures that are there, the Mix and Morph gimmick part is in this part where on the original toy is where the Megazord would stand.
Right.
And that,
in this case, it looks like there's a space behind the Mix and Morph base where you can set the Megazord on it.
Right.
Uh-huh.
That part opens up backwards and it sits there, which actually does look a bit cooler because it makes it look more like a chariot of sorts.
Yeah. I think that'll end up looking pretty good when we can actually see a Megazord standing in it.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course it does have the Zoo Ranger base stickers. The tail parts are sitting over to the side. They have posts on the tail where it would connect in tail mode, and there are pegs on Titanus's front legs.
Yeah, I imagine as far as basic functions, it works exactly the same as the
and
original
you can
Titanus
easily,
toy.
And of course, the front paws do come off. You can tell that because they're put on the wrong sides.
Yeah.
So yeah, it looks like aside from having the Mix and Morph gimmick, that it does all the same stuff except it doesn't have the motor, which frankly is a plus in my book.
Well,
same
see,
here.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the motor in the original Titanus was the best part of it because you could turn it on, set it on the floor, and send it chasing after a cat,
or have it stand still making a bunch of clicking noises.
I have never liked motorized toys, even as a child.
Titanus is like the only one I've ever liked that much.
Yeah, I had the Return of Titanus, And pretty much the main difference was, okay, it came with a little non-functioning Dragon Zord chest shield and didn't have the parts that would clip onto the Megazord tank mode.
Right.
But, right. Titanus would run around fine on the carpet if he wasn't carrying anyone, but put the Ninja Mega Falcon Zord in, well, but have him carry the Ninja Mega Falcon Zord around.
I would think the Shogun Mega Zord would be carry more of it a anywhere. Problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised we're getting a new Titanus at all. I really wasn't expecting them to make one.
I think doing it
as a big mix and morph base let them get around the problem of it not fitting in the regular Zord price point.
Right. And plus, it lets it do more. Because, the Carrier Zords...
No.
Yeah, Titanus just doesn't do much.
Paladin, I think you were starting to say something?
Just agreeing that by trying to... they're doing a lot for this mix and morph stuff, so by trying to tie Titanus into it just makes sense from a marketing point.
Right, it's a good way to sneak another toy past.
Now, where the hell is my Dragon Zord?
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. There's no Dragon Zord on display.
Right.
Everybody is asking that, I think.
And, of course, I don't think we're going to get any information about that from the panel, because, of course, these aren't Bandai's people working it.
Yeah.
Right.
Pretty much the only thing we can hope right now is that the Dragon Zord is just going to be coming along so soon in the general process that it wasn't necessary to show it at Toy Fair. It's already been...
Or they just forgot to pack one in the box. I mean, yeah, this is Bandai. They're not terribly...
Or they had no... Or the hired marketing drones that they had there had no idea what to do with the thing because it had popped apart.
Yeah, it's hard to say. But given that we're getting a Titanus, it... Well, of course, again, this is Bandai, and they do random omissions all the time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're peddling Dragon Zord design stuff like the battle mode in the Mix and Morphs, and apparently now in the Go-Go Power Rangers little figurines, too.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're... foolish of them not to make one, because they know the Dragon Zord will sell from previous experience.
Well, and right. It's not like they're not acknowledging its existence in the first place, so...
Right.
I mean, I think there's still hope for it, but it is very strange and slightly discouraging we did not see it at the show.
It's disappointing, but I have no doubt that we're getting one. I mean, it's going to happen.
And we have a few more interesting things, such as the Zip Cord Launcher Power Morpher.
There's one more interesting thing, too. We'll get back to the Morpher thing in a minute.
Yeah.
Paladin, I think you linked originally to the flying Megazord toy.
Yes, the flying helicopter Megazord. Do I even need to say any more? Just the name should be enough to sell that.
No, you do need to say one more thing. The remote control flying helicopter Megazord.
Yeah, yeah.
A Megazord you can fly around and chase your cat with.
Yeah.
Well, because like Megazord flew so often in the show.
What? Mickey?
It just flew so often in the show, it's just a logical toy to make.
Yeah, of course.
Well, you know, you can make it fly and lift off the ground and then land in the back of Titanus. You know, it did do that in the show.
Sort of.
Well, and there's also a bunch of wire flying wire foo and some of the more wire being punched backwards than anything.
Yeah, that was generally in the later series more.
Yeah. Now, also, there are various Battleizer Rangers.
Right. We were talking a few weeks ago about how we were expecting to see an armored Red Ranger and maybe a Black Ranger, but they're just going to go all out, and they've given us all three male Rangers now with it.
And
souped up Tommy too.
Right.
Yeah, I like what they did with the Tommy figure, the shin armor, or I guess that's thigh actually, but it actually looks pretty good. I like the design of it.
Yeah, they seem to have souped up all the armor on him.
Yeah.
Just to balance him out with the others having the
Oddly, the launcher uses the ninja coins.
Yeah, you know, I saw those on the display there that there was a mix of the original and the third season coins.
Which is real weird.
Yeah, it really kind of is.
Well, there's a White Ranger figure, too, so...
There was a couple of White Ranger figures, wasn't there?
Yeah.
I have a theory about that, actually.
Yes?
I'm kind of wondering if maybe they're bringing out the White Ranger now just to try to tie him into Titanus instead of, you know, making something like a Titanus Ranger.
Well, I mean, that could work that way, but it seems like it'd be kind of weird.
Well,
it's not
plus,
like he'd be in the
also,
show
Tony
either
always
way.
Sells.
What?
Well, Tony always sells, so why
yeah.
not?
Once again, the magic of Ranger Jesus comes through.
See, it's too bad that they're only just, you know, putting in the cheesy computer effects on Power Rangers Remastered. They could just start splicing in White Ranger footage from Season 2.
It's a no explanation. Just put them there in the middle of the episode.
To call on Titanus, you know.
Have him come through the Cybernet Space Cube.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Okay, so did we see anything else interesting at Bandai's booth at Toy Fair?
Well, there were these vehicles that looked
already.
Like Dino Thunder, that looked like kind of, sort of like Dino Thunder Morphers.
We saw what now?
These little go-kartish vehicle things that look...
Ah, yeah, where one of the White Ranger figures was coming from.
Yeah.
Okay, so start again with the Zip Morpher.
Well, it has the ninja coins.
Yeah, that's really kind of weird.
Did they ever release those before now?
Only as McDonald's premiums.
Right.
Happy Meal toys. So, no.
Well, that's kind of cool, isn't it?
Only if they're compatible. Well, it's cool if they're compatible with the original Morpher toy.
But they aren't.
Right, yeah. So then it's just kind of a backhanded gesture. And I guess the Zip Morpher thing is going to be the closest thing we get to an actual Power Morpher toy this time around.
Possibly.
Which also kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But also, we also have no idea what else they have in the works because, well, half of the stuff we only know about when it shows up as a also available.
I'm sure whatever else Bandai has in the works will be equally as head-scratching.
Yeah. Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. See also the Red Ranger helmet mix and morph base.
Right.
Yes.
But yeah, the two real oddball showings at Toy Fair were the Phone Braver Power Rangers and Evangelion Red Ranger.
Yeah.
Okay, so this past weekend,
also the little Morphin figure, the Mighty Morphin figures. We
the
have,
little Go-Go Power Rangers,
yes.
You mean?
Yeah. One thing we didn't mention, of course, there's the Megazord, Dragonzord in fighting mode, also White Ranger and Armored Red Ranger. And
it's kind of cool that they're getting it.
Yeah, and the Armored Red Ranger has the Power Sword and the Dragon Dagger.
Meanwhile, the normal figure of Black Ranger with the armor on was carrying a Blade Blaster and a Power Sword.
Right.
Yeah.
Go
I chalk that up to the people not knowing what weapons to put with which figure.
Right.
Yeah. I think they
probably
just match
true.
Colors. Well, hey, that sword's black. It must go with the black guy. No offense.
I think they just mostly put it with random. And there are also ones just lying around on the shelves.
Yeah.
It's a good thing models are pretty.
Okay, so this past weekend, the subtitles for the final episode of Shinkanger came out. Paladin, I know you watched the Raw of that last week. So how did it compare when you could actually tell what was happening?
I thought the finale was overall pretty good. Maybe not quite as thrilling as the rest of the series, or even compared to some other finales.
Yeah, I kind of got that impression, too. I mean, there was some cool elements, like the untransformed Shinkangers driving the Megazord along. But on the whole, there wasn't a whole lot special about the fight.
Right.
I'm not sure what I would have liked to see done differently, but the fight itself didn't really grab me.
It was kind of unusual that they spend most of their actual last episode unmorphed.
Yeah, and there didn't really seem to be a concrete reason for it either. I think they
yeah,
just wanted
was...
to get more face time with the actors.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, so the end of Shin Kanger was, well, an ending.
Yeah, with, that's enough.
With a cool little bit there, and you know, with the unmorphed Megazord thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so more importantly, though, the first episode of Ghostsager was broadcast in Japan this weekend.
Yes,
and
it
subs
was.
Are not yet available, which is,
right, that'll probably yeah. be for next week.
I did watch some of the Raw. Mm-hmm. It's very retro feeling.
I know. It feels like there's a lot of callbacks to older shows in it.
Just in the way it's shot as well, it feels like you're watching a forgotten show from 10, 15 years ago.
Hmm.
Yeah. Even the camera work seems that way.
The camera work, the way that the fight scenes go, it's stylistically very nostalgia-driven.
Maybe they wanted to get back into their roots a little bit more this time.
Now that they don't have to cater to the Americans all the time?
Well, I don't know that Shin Kanger had anything to cater to the Americans with either. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed decidedly opposed to it, just for how Japanese-influenced it was.
Yeah, so maybe Ghostsager is their second series celebrating, hey, we're no longer slaves to the American producers.
Disney's not giving us any money anymore, we're doing what the hell we want.
Exactly.
Okay, so besides the retro-ness to it, which sounds pretty cool, so was there anything particularly interesting that you could get out of it, or is it still pretty unapproachable because of the language barrier?
There are some barriers, but I noticed some things, like this series is kind of the opposite of the beginning of Shin Kanger. In Shin Kanger, Red was the first one to go out and fight, but in here he's the last one to actually start fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all I watched was like basically the final fight scene, so I there's not much translation going on that.
I'm not really surprised that Red was the last one to join up, because the last series to do it that way was Geki Ranger, and Ghostsager has the same series writer. So
right. So it makes sense there's some plot elements in common.
Right. Which
and Red looks
go ahead.
Red looks a lot less weird in the show than he did in those promo shots.
Publicity
he
photos
looks pretty normal.
Publicity photos can be misleading.
I think he might have had some photoshopping going on his head in those publicity shots.
And Blue seems like kind of a dick right now.
That's also not inconsistent with Geki Ranger.
Yeah. So well, far, I'm not feeling good. Very optimistic about Hyde.
Is that Black?
No, that's Blue. Remember oh. Hyde?
Well, I remember the name, I just don't remember yet which name goes with which color. That'll take me a few weeks to catch.
Yeah.
Okay, so it sounds like it was pretty visually impressive if you're into the retro thing.
Right. There are some elements that I didn't enjoy that are probably going to start to wear on me fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like the music during the fight scenes. I understand that they're angels, but having like celestic tones during it all is going to get pretty old.
I'm still not a big fan of the whole card motif, but I'll just try to ignore it.
Okay, well, on that subject, to coincide with the release of the show, the Tensoder and Gosei Blaster toys came out in Japan, and one YouTube user has put up some pretty good videos demonstrating their functions. Did any of you check those out?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what did you think?
I still think Tensoder looks weird.
It does. It's a face that you stuff cards into.
It looks like one of those Easter Island heads.
Yeah, it does. I like, though, when you open its mouth, the red eyes, they got these all these circles around him like he's going crazy.
It seems to be using a barcode reader gimmick, which was last seen in the belt toy for Masked Rider Decade. So, I mean, we can look forward to the thing yelling in lots of different Japanese phrases and probably broken English, too.
Probably.
Broken English yelling from toys is always fun.
Yeah.
But it also means that, you know, everything they're going to do has to already be programmed into the Tensoder, And I'm just kind of wondering how long before someone with a little too much time on their hands just starts feeding random barcodes in it to see what they can unlock.
I think we'll get that right away.
The Gosei Blaster is a lot less fancy, but it's kind of neat looking, too. I like the shooting sound effect it has.
I like the Buck Rogers kind of vibe it gives off. I expect when you pull the trigger, sparks to come out of the end of it.
That would be really great. We don't get near enough sparking toys these days, probably because of that whole risk of setting children's underwear on fire.
But the Japanese don't have safety regulations as strict as we do, so maybe they could do it.
Maybe that's why their population is in decline.
I think that's because they're smart enough not to have kids.
I like my answer better. Their unsafe toys are just killing their kids off faster than they can replace them.
You know, looking at the Gosei gun here, is anyone else kind of disappointed that it can't fire off the heads like little missiles?
Like it does in the show?
Yeah.
That would have been a good feature, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't know if it had been a good feature, but it would have been fun.
Maybe they just can't get the engineering down yet.
Well, I don't think anyone's wanting their nice dragon heads getting all chipped up from being fired across the room. And
yeah.
Well, I guess for lack of an actual launching mechanism, you could always just pop it off and throw it at somebody.
Why even pop it off? Let's just throw the whole gun.
Because then you won't have a gun anymore.
Oh.
Don't bring logic into this.
Besides, the head's probably easier to throw with enough force to, hurt real good.
Yeah.
That gun's a little bit heavy. You'd have to chuck it kind of harder.
Well, if you're morph, though, you'd be stronger, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, okay. I was thinking in terms of toys, not show.
Oh.
Okay, so, moving on, so we'll take a quick break and be back in just a minute. Transformers, more than
meets the eye. This is Brian Kilby, host and founder of Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet Radio Show, online since 1999. Check us out at tfradio.net while you're there. Check out our other shows, New Soundwave, where we explore the geek news from a geek perspective on a nice 30-minute package. We recorded immediately after Radio Free Cybertron, so we're all pissed off and ready to shut up. And RSC Throwback, where it's one man, one microphone, and years of lonely. Also on the site, we have blogs from our staff members, an archive going back to 1999, and piles of awesome. Check us out, tfradio.net. Follow us on Twitter, at TF Radio, and join us on Facebook. Just search for Radio Free Cybertron, all that and more. Go to tfradio.net. Do it now. Radio Free Cybertron, we are the voice of trans fandom and the official podcast of tformers.com.
To talk about Bulk and Skull.
Oh, hell yes.
I think so.
Yep.
Okay, Mickey, this was your idea, so you go ahead.
How should I start this?
There's
many wonderful things about the original Power Rangers show, but there's one wonderful thing that trumps them all.
And endured for 6 or 7 years.
And that is the joy of Bulk and Skull. Clearly the greatest thing to have ever graced us from the show ever.
Well, see, the beauty of Bulk and Skull is that they were around longer than any other actor on the series. Well,
even after
until,
they got turned into monkeys?
At least until Tommy came back in Dino Thunder, but you know. So they got the chance to be a lot more developed than anybody else. But yeah, it's interesting you bring up the monkey thing. Does anybody know why they were monkeys in Power Rangers Turbo?
They were off somewhere else. There was some show where I think they were running a hotel or something.
Yes, Bulk and Skull were going to get their own show.
And it's a crime that it did not.
Well, it probably would have been bad if they were the main characters, though.
Well, they're also going to have a side character of a Mexican Elvis impersonator named Elvez.
I forgot that. Oh, Saban.
Probably for the best. That's
not Saban. That's an actual artist. He's had like 6 or 7 albums.
My worldview is just so shattered.
Yeah, Saban did not come up with Elvez. He's his own guy.
Man. How bad have you named yourself when it sounds like a Power Ranger character name?
I think it's pretty glorious play on words, but you know.
Yes.
If you don't want to like it, that's fine. You can just not like things that are awesome.
Will do. Okay, yeah. So talk to us more about Bulk and Skull.
Bulk and Skull, I think, were the best part of the first season. Because their lack of acting experience did not hurt their character performance. Because they existed to be slapstick humor where they get pied in the face and have heavy things dropped on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't really have to act good for that. You just have to be good at falling down.
Right. And so their
pretty
performance
much the
has
closest,
always rang
the best
true.
Acting that you have to have is timing.
Right.
And I heck was watching the remastered episodes, Foul Play in the Sky, and there's a scene where you can kind of tell that that Bulk and Skull only enter the room just to get drinks dropped on them.
Let's see. My recording didn't work this weekend. Remind me, which episode is Foul
this
Play
is,
in the Sky?
This is the one where Kimberly is on a plane with her uncle and Bulk and Skull
okay.
go on
oh,
for
yeah.
because they want to.
Okay, I remember.
And then at the end, they come into the youth center just to have a drink come in and drop on them right as they get into the main room.
Right.
I remember
and that's
that.
The glory of their characters, is that that's yeah. all they exist for is to be punching bags. They're okay. almost like a modern Three Stooges, only right. there's two of them.
Right. Yeah, I don't think it would have worked as well if there was three of them. Maybe if it was like Bulk and Skull and Alpha. See, that should have been the group that got their own show, their spinoff. Just have Alpha there for no reason and nobody really notices.
Or he's... Well, though they notice him, they just... It's more Mechazawa.
It's what now? What is that?
You ever seen... I can't remember. Cormike High School...
What?
It's this...
Oh, you're talking about Cromarty High School.
Yeah, Cromarty High School.
Oh,
yes. Yes.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but nobody else is going to get that reference.
I'm kind of lost, sorry.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Okay.
Honestly, don't worry about it. But yeah, I mean, I guess it could work that way. Just, nobody questions there being a robot running around wherever they would
or
be.
Or that they just don't notice that he's a robot.
Well, yeah. Same thing, you know. They acknowledge his presence, but there's nothing weird about it.
Yeah, I would like to see horrible things happen to Alpha, though. Like, you know, buckets of paint dropped on him.
Yeah, the closest you're going to get to that is people sticking CDs in his back.
Well, but, you know, if he had a spinoff show with Bulk and Skull, then we could see Alpha get abused like he deserves.
I'm sure a lot of people would want to see that.
Okay, so how about Bulk and Skull's progression throughout the various seasons of Power Rangers?
Of course, season 2, they're mostly there trying to find out who the Power Rangers are.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they first start getting softened. In season 1, they're very much antagonistic.
Right.
In season 2, they try to soften them up and make them more likable.
Well, yeah, you know, they've done the bully thing, and they're done with that now.
I'm not sure that was a good choice, really. I think they were so likable because they were crappy antagonists.
Agreed. The softer they made them, the less cool they got.
I don't know.
Well, it's all a matter of, you know, ongoing character development. I mean, I think it would have been too much if they had kept them being the bully characters for years and years.
Yeah, it was a good choice not to just have him stagnate.
Right.
True. But I think we can all agree the first season was the best Bulk and Skull.
I'll have to disagree.
There are definitely stages in their development that probably would have been better off skipping. Like the involvement they had during In Space.
I have to say that the finale of In Space was...
Yeah, that was one of their best moments, but the rest of the time, you know, it just... It would have worked just
with that professor guy?
Yeah, it would have worked still, just as well for me if Bulk and Skull had not been in any of the rest of Power Rangers in Space and just turned up again in the last two episodes to fulfill that purpose.
That could have worked, maybe.
Except that none of the kids who only watch Power Rangers in Space would have any idea who they were. Not that they probably did anyway.
Yeah.
I have a hard time hating anything from In Space.
It was one of the weaker elements of the show, though, you have to admit.
That doesn't say much.
And then, of course, there was Bulk's all of, like, four appearances in Power Rangers Lost Galaxy.
Yeah, what was the reason for that, by the way? Why was it just him and not
because,
the other?
Jason Narvi was Skull, right?
Yeah, that's it. No.
Right.
He went back to school. He chose to continue his schooling instead of going on in Power Rangers and acting.
Probably the logical choice.
Yeah, it probably worked out well enough for him that way.
They wrote Skull out in the most brilliant way possible, though.
Yeah, he overslept and missed the shuttle.
Yeah, that was funny.
That's the best way to exit a series ever. Oh, he overslept, sorry.
Okay. But, you know, we're skipping over a few years here, too.
Yeah.
So, what about seasons 3 through the end of Zeo?
Well, that was when they started the whole police officer thing, right?
Yeah.
And introduced Lieutenant Stone.
See, Lieutenant Stone really was their third stooge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was always a straight man for him.
Right, but, I mean, it's kind of the same thing I'm thinking with Bulk and Skull having their own show. There needs to be a straight man for them to work with.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, that's just basic comedy theory right there.
Yeah. Right. But, I mean, what did you think of that stage in their development?
It was odd, I think.
Well, pretty much all of Season 3 was weird from what I can remember.
Well, I mean, you remember why they decided to join the Junior Police Force, right?
Babes.
They heard two girls at the youth center talking about how they love guys in uniform.
Exactly.
So, naturally, they'll go and commit to being police officers for however long.
I think a lot of people make that choice for that reason.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah.
But then, partway through Zeo, they change jobs slightly.
They become detectives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. After Lieutenant Stone fired.
Which, let's be honest, that was going to be the end result from that situation eventually.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, somebody had to get fired over that little mishap.
And they're most likely to take someone down with them.
The mishap being, of course, Bulk and Skull being allowed to join the Junior Police Patrol.
Yeah.
But yeah, their role as detectives didn't last very long, though, did it?
Would have been glorious if we could have got a Bulk and Skull detective team up with Masked Rider Double.
Well, yes, but there's like 10 years difference between them.
Yeah,
I know, it's not logical, like, but it would have been fun.
But if Shotaro is half-boiled, what are Bulk and Skull?
Quarter-pounders.
I don't think that works.
No, it doesn't, but why not?
Why not?
Anyway,
there's fractions hurt involved. It's close enough.
All right.
It was about that point in the series where they basically took control of Rito and Goldar, didn't they?
That was Zeo.
The whole of Zeo.
Well, first half mostly.
it was the better part of the series anyway. Better as in, you know, larger. Yes. No, actually, that had slipped my mind completely that they adopted Rito and Goldar for a while. I'm not sure whether that was more of a positive direction for Bulk and Skull or Rito and Goldar just for the comedic potential.
I'd say comedic.
Maybe so. Of course, by the end of Zeo, you could see how much mileage they'd put on the Rito suit.
Yeah.
And of course, the suit wasn't even usable for the finale of In Space.
Right. Yeah, they totally wore it out.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked a little bit already about Bulk and Skull turning into monkeys for Power Rangers Turbo. Which was after they apparently had returned from France.
Yeah. Which was never really explained, was it?
No, there was a lot of things between the end of Zeo and the Turbo movie that were not explained because they were pretty much forced to go in a different direction with the series. You know, a lot of story elements they had set up, like the return of Rita and Zed, had to be dropped.
Yeah.
And part of that was Bulk and Skull going and doing whatever they would have done. I mean, really, I think the only way, if it had been planned to keep Bulk and Skull around, the only way that could be resolved would be exactly how they did it, to just have them randomly turn up again, in this case, thinking they were actually French.
That would have been weird.
Oh, I can totally picture Skull wearing a beret and stripy shirt.
But, yeah, you know, for the characters, you can't really have a rational explanation for what has happened to them.
It's more fun not to.
Right. Okay, and then in the first episode of the series, Turbo, they get turned into monkeys randomly.
Yeah.
Because Elgar has that power once and never again. Not that we're really here to pick apart Power Rangers Turbo, because that would take most of an episode.
Yeah, we can do that another time.
Only one episode?
We could do a whole episode probably just about the movie.
Picking on Turbo is like Pringles. Once you start, you can't stop.
And then it slowly rots your insides.
Or gives you constipation, whatever. Yeah, I didn't really care for the monkey period.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but they're not very good voice actors. You know, their voiceovers for the monkeys were pretty poor, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, they're good physical actors. That's where their strengths lie.
Meaning
you
they
can't do that
act.
With a monkey.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is they can't
eventually.
Act.
They came back and then they were invisible.
For one episode.
Yeah.
Which, that's fine, you know. Get your invisible joke out of the way and then move on. But yeah, that brings us to one of the points in Bulk and Skull that I ended up enjoying quite a bit, which was them trying to find, you know, honest employment in the second half of Turbo. Which I think I only liked it because it was a way of showing that Bulk and Skull had kind of like grown up.
Which was good.
Yeah. You know, it's what I was saying before. Them being able to be around through so many different seasons and basically outlast everybody else up to that point allowed them to get a more complex character development than the Ranger characters usually were. You know, I think that's one of the things that makes Bulk and Skull appealing in the overall assessment of the series.
They're the only characters that grew along with the audience.
Pretty much, yeah. I totally forgot where I was going with that. Somebody else want to pick up here?
Well, we've already touched on In Space.
Where... at first, it seemed like the character development they had gained through the course of Turbo had been mostly forgotten.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Now, of course, now one thing that I did, of course, well, with Season 3, when everyone was turned kids, is that Bulk and Skull went back to being bullies.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, which was a nice touch, which was more thought than was usually put into Power Rangers.
Well, you couldn't exactly have little 12-year-old Bulk and Skull being little 12-year-old police officers, now could you?
Didn't the guy who played Bulk direct an episode at one point?
Yes, Attack of the 50-foot or 60-foot Bulk.
Yeah.
He directed it.
Which was appropriate. And he also appeared in that episode, didn't he?
Yes.
Briefly, when Bulk was restored from being a monster.
I think so.
Not that that really makes any overall difference, just, you know, a little trivia bit there. But yeah, I mean, starting with In Space, Bulk and Skull started appearing less and less.
And then they paired him up with that doctor guy because they wanted to prove that they saw a UFO for some reason.
No, I'm sure you remember his real name. What? He wasn't just that doctor guy.
It was Phenomenous.
Phenomenous and genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Power Rangers in Space did a lot of good things. That wasn't one of them.
Yeah.
But it gave the Bulk and Skull saga a nice little closing, though, of them stepping up and inciting humanity to stand up for themselves.
Yeah, that... You know, they found out who the Power Rangers were in the end. And, you know, even without knowing ahead of time, they stepped up and tried to protect the Power Rangers when they were hiding in the crowd.
Yeah.
They became heroes, finally.
Yes, exactly. You know,
moment
that was...
of glory.
Everything, all the past seasons had been leading right up to that point, and it just all got paid off in that one line of dialogue.
And it was a pretty damn good payoff.
Yes, it was. It totally validated everything you watched Bulk and Skull go through over the years if you had been with the series from the beginning.
Right, because you're finally like, yes, finally they've become heroes after all.
Yeah.
They've gone and done, they've earned this.
Mm-hmm, exactly. I mean, anybody who is a fan of Bulk and Skull has to acknowledge that moment as the, to rip off from TV tropes, the crowning moment of awesome in their whole development.
Exactly.
Yes.
Which is probably why we're talking for 2 or 3 minutes here about one 10-second little sequence. It's just that one that just sticks in your mind forever.
Yeah.
And then the next day, Skull oversleeps on his way to the space colony.
Yeah. I don't think it was literally the next day. But
no,
yeah,
but you know. Can't win them all.
Yeah.
But the nice thing, though, is that we have a nice little epilogue to Bulk and Skull in Wild Force.
Forever Red.
Yeah.
Yep. Where we learn that they've taken over Ernie's position of selling juice to children.
And Bulk has gotten back to Earth, however Alpha did. Just without winding up in a box in the process.
Wizard did it.
Well, of course, it's Bulk. He just pops up.
Yeah, there's no explanation. It just happened.
Yeah.
Just like France.
He woke up in a garbage can someday, and there was Skull right next to him. Then they opened a juice bar.
Yeah, why the heck not?
Yeah.
Mm. Speaking of... awesome moments for Bulk and Skull, there's one that we've all kind of forgotten about, which happened during Power Rangers Zeo, where they also saved the Power Rangers without the Rangers ever knowing about it. Anybody remember?
I didn't watch Zeo, so I don't remember that.
Oh, yes, when they get... Oh, yes.
When they get teleported to the Machine Empire. I don't know if that was a sky base or just a planet under their control, but, you know, they get teleported... to the arena where
Tommy's
being
held. When they were out looking, trying to find what happened to Tommy.
Right.
And they get teamed up with that half-lizard guy?
Yeah. Yeah, a lizard did it.
Yeah.
And they beat up a cog. Good for
and
them.
They carried his parts around as trophies and weapons.
Yeah. That was a great visual effect.
Yeah.
Swinging cog arms and legs around.
Wish but the yeah. Rangers would have done that.
But yeah, Bulk and Skull got to save the Power Rangers twice in their career. It's just the...
Three later... times.
Three? Oh, yeah, I forgot.
The episode where Rangers where lost they get their memories.
Yeah. I guess I lost mine, too.
Hello?
See, so Bulk and Skull get to be heroes more than just at the end of Power Rangers in Space, but that's the one everybody thinks of.
Yeah. Because that time everybody actually sees them being heroes.
Right.
They don't lose their memories or get teleported away by an alien that nobody else knows about.
Right. But see, part of being a hero is doing it without the expectation of reward. You know, you do it just because it has to be done and it's the right thing to do. You know, it's in your character. You're not doing it to be praised later. And that really speaks more in the first two instances. They're doing it selflessly the last time, too, but, you know, everybody knows about it then.
Yeah.
But it's more satisfying for us, the viewer, because we see them get rewarded, and that's what we want.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why the Power Rangers in Space incident was a good resolution for the characters. They finally get the credit they deserve. So, is there anything else for Bulk and Skull that we haven't touched on yet?
I did watch a very nice interview with Jason Narvi and Paul Schreier, how's it pronounced?
I think Schreier.
Anyway, there's an interview with them from one of the Power Ranger conventions from a while back I watched, and someone asked them from the audience, if they were Rangers, what Ranger color would you be? And their answers were so epic. Bulk would have been The Black Leather Ranger.
Yes, and Skull was going to be the Leopard Print Ranger if they had their ways.
Remember that dream sequence from the first season?
Where they got to morph and take control of the Megazord?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And crashed it.
Yeah.
They also referenced a line from an earlier episode. Bulk asks Skull who taught him how to drive, and Skull says, "Nobody, how am I doing?" Yeah, Bulk and Skull were one of the really awesome parts of Power Rangers for various reasons that changed a lot over the years.
And can we say again that their theme music is incredibly catchy?
Yeah, I mean, it does stick with you, doesn't it?
Yes.
And it's just
that music screams comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they designed their theme music just perfectly for the characters. Well, I think we've covered about all we can with Bulk and Skull. Wouldn't you say?
Just about.
Yeah. Okay, anybody have any final thoughts for the show this week?
Just one, if I can toss this out. Back when we discussed the Dragon Dagger, I mentioned a web series called Atop the Fourth Wall that actually built the dagger prop.
Yeah.
Well, their typical stick is doing comic book reviews, and one of this week's reviews is an issue of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 1.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
There was more than one number 1 issue 1?
Wasn't there more than one series, depending on the publisher?
Possibly.
I'm tossing up a link for it. I thought it was entertaining, even, I should warn you, there's a few in-jokes that if you don't watch regular, you might not get.
Well, I guess that would be me, then.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody else have anything they want to plug this week?
I'm just looking forward to watching Ghostager subbed in the next Masked Rider Double.
Yeah.
Bring on Ghostager Great!
Yes.
Fort Max, you got anything for us?
Not really.
Okay. Everybody should go and check out the Toy Fair coverage at Altered States Magazine. They've been friends of Radio Free Cybertron for pretty much as long as there's been a Radio Free Cybertron. They've always got killer Toy Fair coverage. So you should go check them out. It's at asmzine.com. I'll put a link up in the show notes to that. And also check out our new podcast in the family, Fanboy vs. Fanboy, which is recording, I believe it's third episode this week. That should be up real soon. All right. I guess that's it for us this week. Check us out next time. We're going to talk about Mystic Knights of Tir na n'og and run down the first episode of Ghostsager subtitled so we can actually tell what's going on.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah. Now, I imagine at least the first episode will come out pretty quick. Just, of course, not the next day. All right, well, everybody, thanks for listening, and you guys, thanks for being here with me again this week. I will talk to you next time.
Bye.
See ya.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Visit us online at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production, copyright 2010. We'll